This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and pleased to be with you today. We so love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. And we always invite you to pick up the phone and give us a call. And here is that number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where, as I say, we love to have that holy conversation with you. Always like to invite you to join us too out there in cyberspace. Today, we're available to you through YouTube only. So go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and you can join us there. You can use the chat feature. You can get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up on our board, and we can address it for you if you simply go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Again, the number for you to call, toll free for you right here in North America, is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, if you're outside of North America or if you're in the Birmingham area, use this number. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Absolutely delighted to hear from you here on Women of Grace Live. As I say, we love to have that holy conversation with you, and we love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday. We love to spend time with you when it isn't Monday and Friday too, even when it's in the evening hours during the week. We've got all kinds of great opportunities lined up for you. We certainly do. And all of these opportunities are meant to enhance your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, to lead you into ever-deepening union with Him. And so it is that we desire that you take advantage of them and get out there to womenofgrace.com and see what's happening and what's going on soon. Let me give you two things that are coming right up. You know, here we are. Can you believe it? I mean, here it's May 17th. You know, we're closing in on the end of the month of May. We're over the middle point of it, and we're on the downward side of that. And June is right on the heels there, coming at us pretty quickly. And June 1st, of course, being the first day of June, well, it's the first one out of the box in that month. And we have something lined up for you. Yes, we do, to welcome June. And I am eager, eager, eager for this opportunity for you. And frankly, I'm eager for it for myself. We're going to have a two-evening webinar that is going to be hosted by our own Colin Donovan, Vice President of Theology for EWTN. And we're going to be talking about, I think, an absolutely fascinating topic, one that we hear a lot about. And we often get questions about these kinds of things right here on the air. I know that we do at Women of Grace, and I'm thinking that others do through their broadcasts as well. Here's the topic. Is this the end of the world as we know it? And I love that. I love it because it asks the big question, is this the end of the world? But then it tacks on like this little phrase at the end, as we know it. Is this the end of the world as we know it? Well, you know, we're going to be taking a look at that through the signs and considerations from a Catholic perspective. And Colin Donovan is going to be taking us through all of this. And I know you're going to be edified by what it is that you're going to hear and what this discussion is going to entail. And I just want to, you know, I just want to give you a little bird's eye view of what we will be talking about. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Scripture is filled with it. Saints and mystics, they all allude to the end times, right? And I know that this is in the forefront of lots of people's minds. And that is the period that will precede the second coming of Christ and the end of the world as we know the world to be right now. And during this webinar event, Colin is going to be talking with us, giving us insight about that time. And here are just some of the things that you're going to discover. Listen to this. This would absolutely entice me, even if I wasn't the one that planned the event, right? What do we as Catholics believe about the end times? What do the saints and mystics tell us about the end times? Are we in the end times? What are its signs? And how do we prepare? Here's more. How do we separate fact from fiction? How do we separate conjecture from authentic prophecy? How do we separate true mystical revelation from its counterfeit? Colin has the answers to all of that for us. What is the final tribulation? We hear about that. You know, what is that going to be like? What's this final trial? Is there going to be an illumination of conscience? This is a question that comes up very frequently on our program. People want to know, what is this illumination of conscience? A lot of the mystics talk about it. There's a lot of talk out there in literature about it, current literature. There's a lot of talk about it, you know, in various kinds of blogs that people write. Is there going to be an illumination of conscience? How do we know what the answer to that question is? What does sacred scripture say? And what does the church say about such a thing? Does the church or sacred scripture say anything about it? And then what is the ultimate destiny of man and the world? What's all of that going to be like? What, you know, we hear about things, you know, we believe in everlasting life, but what about all that? And what's going to happen to our bodies at that time? You know, all of these things we're going to be talking about with Colin Donovan beginning June 1st, and then the following evening as well, June 2nd, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time. All of the information is available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. Simply get out there. You're going to see it. I think it's number one or two in the slideshow. But in addition to all of that, it's listed for you under the events. Either the slideshow discussion about it or what is listed in events will take you to a landing page. You can read about it. What I am sharing with you right now is all there. In addition to that, you can actually register for that event, right? So we do encourage you to join us June 1st, June 2nd, 7:30 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern time. Going to be a fascinating evenings, two evenings of discussion with Colin Donovan on the theme, Is This the End of the World as We Know It? Really, really exciting stuff. Eager to see you there. I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there too. In addition to that, in June, we are going to be in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale to celebrate the Sacred Heart of Jesus at the Heart of Jesus Catholic Church there, right in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Well, kind of like in the little residential section of Fort Lauderdale there. And it's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. I am so looking forward to being with you there. If you are in South Florida, come. If you feel like you just might want to go to Fort Lauderdale or come to Florida, lots of people are coming to Florida, as you well know, then just come. Come for the event. We'll welcome you with open arms. It's going to begin at noon on June the 11th at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Fort Lauderdale. It starts off with a procession of the Blessed Sacrament. We're going to have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass following. Core Bishop Michael Thomas, pastor of Heart of Jesus Catholic Church, will be celebrating the Mass at 1:30 p.m. We're going to eat lunch. It's going to be grand. 2 o'clock p.m., I will be giving a keynote presentation, Journeying into Love, the Hearts of Jesus and Mary. We're going to spend some time with you, obviously, after that presentation, answering questions and time for fellowship. Really looking forward to having you join us there at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church. Information again at our website, womenofgrace.com. So I'm encouraging you to get out there and to sign up. Join us, right? Again, you can register right online. Landing page is available for both events for you out there. Are you telling me I spoke for 9 minutes already? This can't possibly be the case, but maybe so. Well, listen, when we come back, we're in the month of May. I've been offering little inspirational readings at the beginning of the show here about our Blessed Lady. We're going to read one of those inspirational opportunities for you when we come back from the break. But we do want you to call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Toll free for you here in North America and EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. We're there for you. We'll take your questions that way too. We're coming right back, inviting you to stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be with you today on this Monday. Yes, we are. We're rejoicing in the Lord, which we're meant to do all of the time. And hey, listen, I want to give a shout out to all of the great ladies that came to St. Timothy's event that was held at the Bethany Center right here in the Diocese of St. Petersburg, which is where I happen to be today. And we're really, really, really so very grateful to our Lord for the marvelous day that that he provided for us there through the hands of his daughters, the daughters of the Most High God, put on a fabulous day. It was beautiful. We talked about all kinds of things that will help us to be aware of the various tactics of the evil one as he tries to, take us down and take our families down. I hopefully was able to give some tools for discernment and tools for us to use to combat the strategies of the enemy, but mostly to remind us that, God has great things in mind for us today, absolutely great things, and stronger is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. I'm hoping y'all agree with that one. So thank you, Women's Club at St. Timothy's, for the invitation and for providing this beautiful day for so many marvelous, marvelous women. And it was just a grace for me to be with all of you. Also want to say there was one man that was in the group, and that was my husband, Jack Williams. He was a dutiful husband. He came, he helped, he entertained. He was Jack Williams for the women, and it was just delightful. They enjoyed it, I think. All of that being said, this is May. We are giving special tribute to Our Lady in each of our broadcasts because this is one of her months. I do want to invite you to call us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're holding, just hold for a few minutes more here while I share this little reading about Our Lady. Now, I've been sharing with you from a little book called The Love of Mary, in addition to True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. And this book, I recommended it to everybody. And when I went out to look online, I saw that there were only like 13 copies available, but 10 publishers may have more. So I want for you to get out there and to take a look at this little book. It's a beautiful book. It tells us great things about our mother. And here's one for you today. I don't know what you're going through right now. If you're going through any kind of a struggle, any kind of a tribulation, any kind of a trial, if you're having any kind of difficulty with regard to circumstances in life, if you don't know where to go, if you're facing great big hairy problems right now, I am hoping that this particular little reading today will buoy you up, will give you confidence, will instill hope in your heart, and turn you in the direction of Our Blessed Lady, who is the intercessor of intercessors, bested only by her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? She's number two to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one intercessor, but she is the queen of heaven and earth, and as that queen, she holds a whole lot of clout with God the Father and with her Son and with the Holy Spirit because she only asks according to the will of God. And so, Father God, the Trinitarian life itself makes haste to hear her requests. And this is what we read in this little book today that just really was inspiring to me. It says, Mary is then most ready and profuse in opening her treasures, dispensing her riches, her gifts, her graces to him who calls upon her and has recourse to her in all his wants and necessities. Did you notice the word all? In all his wants and necessities. Nothing, I'm just telling you this is me, nothing is too small for Our Lady's consideration and nothing too big. It says, how many humiliations, petitions, memorials, and intercessors, how many months and years are required to gain some favor, some help from men? And you may congratulate yourself if even this suffices and you are not spurned without obtaining anything, as but too frequently happens. But not so with Mary. All have most prompt access to her, the noble, the rich, and the poor, the just and the sinner, the miserable, afflicted, the weak, the sick, the outcast, contempt, and infamous, the living and the dead. At all times, at every moment, she hears all, receives all, encourages all, grants all petitions, consoles all, encourages all, most abundantly distributes to all her graces, gifts, and benefits. A sigh, a glance, a word is sufficient, and she immediately comes to meet you, to offer herself to you, and to pour into your bosom all her treasures. You will find her ever ready to help you, says Richard of St. Lawrence. She has not the heart to keep you waiting, even a moment, burning with the desire to do good to all. She does not delay and cannot restrain the torrent of her kindness. Eager to do good, she knows not delay, nor is she a miserly keeper of graces. The Mother of Mercy knows not slow delays when she is going to pour forth the treasures of her beneficence upon her servants, says Navarinus. The holy evangelist St. John saw her fly. I love this. The holy evangelist St. John saw her fly to the desert with the wings of an eagle. And then he quotes Revelation 12, verse 14. And there were given to the woman two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the desert. And then the writer of this book, Dom Roberto, says, the flight of the eagle is most swift, and the symbol is well suited to the mother of beneficence, because she does not run, but flies, and with a velocity surpassing that of the very seraphim, to help and assistance of him who calls her in the desert of miseries. So where is your desert of misery today? Turn to Our Lady. With wings greater than an eagle's, faster than a seraphim, she will fly into the desert of your misery, the desert of your affliction, and she will bring her help. She will bring you exactly the blessing that you need. She's the mediatrix of all graces. She is the distributrix of all graces. God endows her with all of the graces that we all need, that she might be mother to us. And I want to give you one very quick inspiration that I had as I was praying this. I was struck by it so that I had to stop and write it in my journal. I started thinking about this and I thought, okay, so Jesus is the Redeemer. He wins the graces for us, doesn't he? He wins the graces for our salvation. But how is it that we acquire those graces, and how is it that we are nurtured in those graces? That's the work of Our Lady. That's the work of what she wants to effect in us. That's the operation of the soul that she wants to bring to fruition in each one of us. Jesus obtains, Our Lady nurtures. Jesus obtains, Our Lady nurtures. And then I began to think, isn't that what she did with Jesus? She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She conceived the God-man in her womb, and he came to us as a babe. He came to us as true God and true man. And in his humanity, our Blessed Lady mothered him unto his divinity, in the sense of being that she helped him to be able to advance in the mission that God had entrusted to him. So, God gave us his son. The word said yes. He came and dwelt among us, but Mary nurtured him into his mission and into his act of redemption. And isn't it so that Jesus saved even as he walked on the face of the earth? He healed. He forgave sin. He dispensed the grace. But who nurtured that grace? Our Lady. Isn't that what she did for the Magdalene? Isn't that what she did with the other holy women who accompanied her as she traveled with her son? Isn't that what she did for the apostles? And we see that so clearly after the death of Jesus. We receive the gospels, those narratives, those infancy narratives, by way of Our Lady. And she continued to nurture them. Isn't that what she did for the early church? So much so that, as I shared with you last week, St. Ignatius of Antioch writes to St. John the Evangelist saying that, he understands that people are flocking to Our Lady. Isn't that what she did for John himself? Why would she not do that for us? Especially since our Lord gave her to us as she stood with John at the foot of the cross, that she might be our spiritual mother. So don't delay. Go to Our Lady, entrust to her all of your cares and all of your woes and all of your sorrows and all of your miseries and all of your afflictions and all of your sufferings and all of your reversals and all of your contradictions, all of your sadnesses of heart, all of your griefs, all of those things that are troubling you, great and small, and she will effect great things in your heart and in your soul. Keep your eyes out, because she will surely show up. I don't say that you'll have an apparition, but you will see. You will see, and I tell you, you will feel in your heart her motherly love for you, and even that growing of grace that takes place as your heart is expanded and dilated by the graces that she brings. So there you have it. That's our inspiration for the day. I hope it means something to you. Let me know if it does. We're ready to hear from you here on Women of Grace Live. We love to have that holy conversation. Here's the number to use, toll free for you in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also, Also, want to invite you to get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. Jeff Burson will dash out there and get it. He's our producer and also our social media manager. Charles Beery on the phone today. Be sure to give him a howdy hey. Let both gentlemen know if you're a first-time caller or submitter, and they'll let me know that. We're going to go to Jennifer. She's in Houston, Texas this morning. Good morning, Jennifer, and thank you for joining us via the EWTN app. We love the EWTN app. Everybody, if you don't have it, download it. And download ours, too, the Women of Grace app. How are you doing, Jennifer?
Good. Thank you, Johnette. I was calling today to ask if you could say one of your beautiful and tremendously efficacious prayers for my dear friend, James' sister, who is today at 11, actually going into the Mayo Clinic for her last palliative care appointment for terminal lung cancer. So I'm being as bold as possible, asking for complete and total healing. And she has a devotion, Rose does, to St. Rita. So along with that novena, we just need the prayers. And I know the audience, your listenership is so good about that. So if you could, I would really appreciate that.
Oh, Jennifer, you know, it delights me to pray, and it delights me to participate in what it is that God wants to do in the lives of his children. And we all do that. We all have access to that great privilege by way of intercessory prayer. And so we are going to lift Jennifer's friend up today. Do you mind giving us her first name, Jennifer? Did you say
Rose,
it was Jane?
Rose. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right,
Rose is the one who's going to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rose is the one with the lung cancer, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so, friends, you know, let's just come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to thank you, for Jennifer, for being such a beautiful friend. And I want to thank you, too, for your boldness. Our Lord loves when we come to him with bold prayer. You know, we sometimes hang back. But no, he says to be bold, to be bold. And we want to pray in the will of the Father, because we know that God has a perfect plan in mind for Rose. And whether that means complete healing or giving her more time on earth, or whether that means, you know, that this is the time for her to be embraced by Our Lady, who will walk her to her son, we don't know. But what we do know is that God's plan for Rose at this moment in her life is perfect. And so we want to pray in his will for her. But we still dare to be bold and to ask him and to share with him what our desires for Rose are. He loves that. Mm-hmm. You know, so we should never hang back from that. And of course, we just heard this beautiful, you know, word about our Blessed Lady coming to us from this little book. And so we also want to do this in and through the heart of our Blessed Lady. And so, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and we lift your daughter Rose up to you. And I just have a strong sense, even as I said that, her name there, Jennifer, I had a strong sense that our Blessed Lady, under her title of Rosa Mystica, wants to be very, I just feel that that's very true, wants to be very present to Rose right now. So, Father God, we come to you in the Immaculate Heart of your daughter, Mary, and we come to you under her title of Rosa Mystica, and we're lifting up to you your daughter, Rose, who is suffering so and going in for this last appointment of palliative care. Now, Father, in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of the doctors and in the eyes of science, in those eyes, this seems like an impossible case. It would seem as though all hope is gone, and we would be foolish for standing in hope before you right now. But here's the deal, Father. You give us that theological virtue of hope that we might be like unto you. You want for us to come to you with assurance and with that beautiful belief in things that are not yet seen. And so we come before you now in hope for your daughter Rose, in hope for a complete and total healing, in hope that science is defied, that the doctors are defied, that what we would expect in the natural is defied. You are the God of the impossible, and nothing is impossible for you, and you have only to will it, and it is done. done. Your very will is efficacious in bringing about wonders and signs and divine and holy effects. And so we ask now that through your will, your daughter would be healed. Now, Father, even as we say that, we are very aware of our inability to see what is best for your daughter Rose at this moment. We see it through worldly eyes. We see it through our passions and our emotions. We don't see it clearly because we can't grasp eternity. We can't even grasp the reality of the present moment, which is eternity immediately before us right now. But you see the whole of it. And we want only what is best for Rose and what is truly your will for her. But in our humanity, and in our love for this daughter of yours, and in our concern for her and for her family, we do ask, with human perspective, hopefully embroidered by the divine, we ask for a complete and total healing, Father. We ask for a complete and total healing. And we're asking this, as I say, through the intercession of our Blessed Lady, Rosa Mystica. And you know, I'm just thinking right now that there are so many great saints that are blessed, and that, you know, they're just waiting for that last miracle. And so, you know, I'm going to ask, I don't know why I just feel I should ask this, but we're going to ask also for the intercession of Blessed Pierre Giorgio. And we ask for your intercession, Blessed Pierre, for Rose. What a beautiful young man you were in this world, and what a great and holy man you came to be, and what a beautiful, beautiful saint of God you most surely are. And so we ask for your intercession as well for Rose, Jennifer's dear friend. And Father God, we present all of this to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. It is, of course, always in your will that we pray. Amen. Well, there you are, Jennifer.
Thank you, Johnette. That was just spectacular. You have a gift.
Oh,
and
God,
I'm so grateful
good.
To you and to your listeners who just stopped to pray. So thank you.
Well, we're praying for Rose. I'm going to pray for her all day. And just every time she comes into your mind, just see Our Lady under her title of Rosa Mystica and keep asking her. We're going to do the same. Thank you, Jennifer. And here you hear that music, friends. We're looking forward to hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way you can join us today. Also available at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Looking forward to being with you. More on the other side of the break coming right up. Stay tuned. Hi, it's Johnette Williams here, and I want to personally invite you to join me in South Florida Friday, June 11th, to celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church. The day includes a procession with the Blessed Sacrament and Mass, a beautiful luncheon, and my presentation, Journeying into Love, the Hearts of Jesus and Mary. Come to know the love God the Father has for you. To register, call 954-522-3939, or go to womenofgrace.com. Hope to see you there.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be with you today on this beautiful Monday in the Lord. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Looking forward to your questions or comments that you leave in the chat feature there, and we will get them up on the board. Jeff Burson's going to do that for you. Charles Beery is going to answer your phone call. If you're a first-time caller or first-time submitter, please let the guys know, and they'll put it up there for me, and I can welcome you with my virtual welcome bell. Ding, 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 ding. That's what we'll do for you if you call in and let us know that you're a first-time caller. The lines are wide open for you. Again, that's 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. You know, there's a passage in Scripture that was coming to my mind just now as I was thinking about Rose and about her appointment today, and I was thinking about Jennifer's beautiful you know, heart of gold, that it wants the very best for her friend. And, you know, this this passage of scripture is one that I think catches us up short sometimes. And it says, you have not because you ask not. Isn't that interesting? You have not because you ask not. And I think, you know, we don't realize how many spiritual blessings the heavens contain. We couldn't. It's an infinitude of blessings, because what are blessings? Well, blessings are graces. And what are graces? Participation in the divine life, which is inexhaustible. So, you know, heaven is filled, inexhaustibly filled, right, with blessings that God wants us to know and to have, opportunities to participate in the divine life itself, right? So we should ask for every spiritual blessing in the heavens. You know, Ephesians 1, verse 3, St. Paul tells us that God has every spiritual blessing in the heavens for us, that they have been bestowed and are being bestowed on us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And how does that happen? Well, that happens through the salvific action, which is inexhaustible too. You cannot exhaust redemptive grace. You know, I mean, Jesus poured out his blood, you know, down to the very last drop for each one of us. And that's an inexhaustible reality. You know, that blood that came from his body is representative of the amount of grace God has in mind for us to receive. And again, an inexhaustible amount. Another passage in scripture, it's Ephesians 1 verse 17. You know, St. Paul is talking about, he's telling the Ephesians that we can't even begin to imagine the graces to be distributed upon the church and the immeasurable scope of God's power in us who believe. I love that. I love the whole of it. The infinitude of grace that is ours and that God wants to dispense upon us through the hands of our Blessed Lady, dispense upon us who are the members of the church, but the immeasurable scope of his power in us who believe. Imagine if we lived under that reality. You know, imagine if we were effusive in our acknowledgement of that truth in praise and thanksgiving to God, right? Imagine just that. There is a corollary between our thankfulness and our worship of God and the dilation of the heart that makes us capable of receiving all of that. But think about it. Just think the immeasurable scope of his power in us who believe. We can't even think in terms of immeasurable, because everything here is finite. You know, even measurements are finite. We can't think in terms of infinitude. But that passage is telling us that we have an infinitude of power through Jesus Christ if we choose to believe in him. And when we stand in prayer for somebody, we ought to be standing in that reality. Even if we can't conceive it, but we don't have to conceive it. We don't have to be able to understand it, comprehend it for it to be true, right? I can't even comprehend the infinitesimally small size of an atom, but it doesn't mean that atoms don't exist, right? So this power does exist, and we should stand in that power, realizing, of course, that it's not our power we're standing in. We're standing in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he merited for us. So we don't want to be, you know, those people that, you know, were in the mind of our Lord when he says, you have not because you ask not. No, we don't want that. We want to be those people who ask. And when we ask according to the will of the Father, why, my goodness sakes, things happen. And so, you know, we look at our Blessed Lady, you know, and we think about that little bit that I read at the beginning here. And we think about the fact that, you know, here, you know, you might say, well, this Dom Roberto, he's exaggerating. You know, he's way too effusive about this business of Our Lady. No, he isn't. Our Blessed Lady is all powerful with God. She's omnipotent with God. Now, note, she's not omnipotent in herself or all-powerful in herself. She is all of that in God. So conformed to the will of the Father that she only asks what is the will of the Father, and therefore it's obtained. And he can't refuse her anything. But I think sometimes, you know, I think even sometimes God, and he says, just to honor her, I'm going to do this. We have evidence of that. We have evidence of that, you know, in light of what happened at the wedding feast at Cana. You know, Jesus says to his mother, you know, woman, what does this have to do with you and me? My hour is not yet come. And she's not being presumptive. She just turns to the servants and say, do whatever he tells you. She says that. And they do. Well, why is that? One, because Jesus was honoring his mother, good Jewish boy. He fulfilled every commandment perfectly. So he was honoring her. And he was trusting her that this was perhaps the hour, that maybe things needed to get ramped up a bit. And so we should stand in that same kind of beautiful reality. And that's why when we prayed for Rose, we prayed in the will of the Father, and we asked to be taken into the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady and to offer that prayer through her under her title of Rosa Mystica, right? Because God doesn't refuse Our Lady. She's always in his holy will. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. We are looking forward to hearing from you today. Do pick up the phone and give us a call here. We've got, the phone lines available for you right now. But let's go to a listener comment. We have lots of those, and we like to see what has been left for us on that line. So go for it, Jeff.
This is Mary, Northeastern Pennsylvania. I have a question on spiritual communion. I watch Mass in the morning lots of times, and I do the spiritual communion at Mass time. Then when I say my morning prayers, should I be doing the spiritual communion over again? And then a Eucharistic minister brings us communion once in a while on Sundays. If I receive communion from her, then could I say the spiritual communion again when I say my morning prayers? Thank you. I'll look forward to hearing the answer. Bye.
Well, now here is a question I'm really glad you asked. It's a beautiful question because what it tells me is that you want your heart always united with our Lord, and you always want to receive him into your being and into your heart and into your soul. And that is beautiful. And of course, the most profound way is receiving him body, blood, soul, and divinity through the reception of Holy Communion. But sometimes we're not able to receive Holy Communion. And so we make what is called a spiritual communion. And a spiritual communion is a very, very beautiful thing. It is asking Jesus to come into our hearts as if we were receiving him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, through reception of the consecrated host. So it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I want to encourage all of us to make these spiritual communions. So if I understand your prayer correctly, you know, I really think what you're asking is, you know, Can you ever make too many spiritual communions? You know, and if you've received our Lord body, blood, soul, and divinity in the morning, can you make a spiritual communion in the afternoon? Well, absolutely. Absolutely you can. It's always time. It's always time for a spiritual communion. And you can do that just as you open your heart and your mind to our Lord and just say, come now, come to me as if I were receiving you, body, blood, soul, and divinity right now. But there are formal prayers for a spiritual communion too. EWTN has a beautiful one on its website, and we invite you to go out there and to check out that one. And, I like it very, very much, and I'm trying to find it right here. I will read it to you as soon as I locate it. But as you well know, the opportunity for this comes in a variety of forms. Here it is. Let me just go to it. This is quite lovely, and it's very simple. My Jesus. As a matter of fact, you know what? I have a grand idea, everybody. Let's just make an act of spiritual communion together right this very moment. Let's just come together again as this mystical body of Christ. Let us recollect ourselves in this moment. And I'm going to read this prayer, but I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it along with me. And maybe you can even repeat it to yourself, you know, after I say the word, you know, like my Jesus, you can say my Jesus, and you can pray it along with me that way. And I'll go slowly enough for you to be able to do that. So here we are. Oh, isn't this a marvelous thing? So let's think of a special intention. I'll tell you what, let's make a spiritual communion right now for Rose. How about that? Let's do that right now. So, Father God, we come before you in this moment. Once again, we lift your daughter Rose up to you, and we're going to offer a spiritual communion now for her. And here we are, Father, gathered together in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. And we pray, my Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Father, we offer this spiritual communion for Rose. Amen. That was just lovely. So the fact of the matter is, no, we can never make too many spiritual communions. So it's fine. Receive Jesus in the morning or when the Eucharistic minister comes to you or however it is that you receive him. But then again, it's always fine to make a spiritual communion. This would be a good prayer to memorize. But if you don't memorize it, you can simply say right now, you know, I wish, Father, that Jesus would come into my heart as if I were receiving him right now, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And I pray that the spiritual communion is efficacious for my salvation and the salvation of others. Amen. A nice way also to be able to offer a spiritual communion when you're praying for the holy souls in purgatory, which I really encourage you to do. You know, I've made it a practice for numbers of years to say Hail Mary as I pass by a cemetery. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And I think that it makes Father God so very, very happy. And I know that it makes Our Lady happy because she prays for the souls in purgatory. As a matter of fact, we have it on the word of the mystics that she even goes to purgatory and consoles them. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I like to think about that. Okay, we've got Lorinda out there on YouTube. She says, please pray for my Uncle David, passed May 2nd, and my Aunt Henrietta, his wife, suffering with high blood pressure and kidney failure, for their family to witness the miracle God has brought to them. Okay, well, we do come together now again, Father. Lorinda is asking for this, and she's asking for the repose of the soul of her Uncle David. She's asking for healing for her Aunt Henrietta, who suffers with high blood pressure and kidney failure. And she's asking for their family to witness a miracle, perhaps the curing of her mother of this kidney failure and of this high blood pressure. But I also pray consolation for this family, and especially for Henrietta, who has lost her husband. And I turn once again to our Blessed Lady. And you know, Mother, you understand what it's like to lose a loved one. You lost two. You lost your son, and you lost your husband. And we can only imagine the level of your grief. You, who is the epitome of the perfect creature, you who could suffer more deeply than any of us because you are not compromised by concupiscence, nor by selfishness, nor by your own worry and concern for yourself. And so you suffered purely those losses. I would ask in this moment that from the consolation that you received from your spouse, the Holy Spirit, in that moment of St. Joseph's passing, that very grace that held you there and the very, very presence of your son who was there to share your grief, but also in his divinity to be the consoling one in a way that only God can console. I would ask now that you would pray for Henrietta, and you would pray for the repose of the soul of her husband, David. And I would also pray, Mother, that Henrietta would be able to experience in some sensate, knowable way that you are there with her and that she is not alone. And maybe it is, Father God, that even in some change in Henrietta's demeanor, her children will see that, and that will be a sign that will lead them into deeper union with you. And so it is that we offer this prayer for Lorinda's uncle and for her aunt and for her cousins and for all of those in that family that you entrusted to David and to Henrietta. Amen. Well, thank you, Lorinda. Always happy to offer prayers. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. We're loving having that holy conversation with you. Let's take another call there, Jeff.
My name is Rose. I am living in West Covina, California. I'm 84 years old, a cradle Catholic, but actually now in my later years, I am discovering so much, and there's so much richness and so much wonderful things in the Catholic faith. What is the best way to talk to my non-Catholic friends, some of them being in my own family, to show them just how beautiful the Catholic faith is and how much they are missing, since I am not a very good speaker, and sometimes I cannot express myself the way I would like to. I am very frustrated because I cannot do this, and I pray about it. I even doubt that my prayers sometimes, because I'm not even sure I am praying correctly, since my brain is still in the same place. I have not been enlightened in any way, shape, or form to communicate to others. Thank you very much.
Well, my goodness, I think that, you know, you're touching on something here that many people wonder about. How is it that we can witness to our family? And it's so beautiful because you're talking about the treasures of grace that you're receiving at this moment in your life. And you're talking about how wonderfully God is displaying his love for you and even taking you into the mysteries of his son's life. And you're talking about the richness that we have in our faith. And you're talking about the incredible way in which you are grateful and thankful for all of this. And what's so pretty about this, what's so lovely about this, what's so holy about this, Rose, is the fact that you want to share this. You want to share this. And this is the way that it should be. You know, when we begin to see the glories and the wonders of the Lord, we want to share it with everybody. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. And that's a real sign of the Holy Spirit. The natural tendency of man is that when we find something that's really wonderful, you know, we want to retain it for ourselves. Right? You can think about that in terms of material goods, you know, how people hoard money, right? How they'll hoard their personal possessions. You know, they want it for themselves. But no, when the Holy Spirit is operating in us, what we want to do is to give everything that we've got, the best of what we've got. Sometimes that translates into our material goods, you know, in greater or lesser extent. But, you know, we always want to give them the very best. That's not the very best. The very best is we want them to know the treasures of grace that are theirs, and we want to share with them that which we've received. So I want to applaud you on that, and I want to thank you for that. And it really is a sign to me that the Holy Spirit is all over you. So don't you worry about the fact that you think you can't speak well, and don't let the evil one tempt you with doubt. Whenever we're beginning to doubt in our personal relationship with the Lord, you know, I mean, this does not mean that we presume. That's a whole nother matter. But when, you know, we're under kind of like a spirit of doubt, you know, that's an oppressing spirit. It's a type of vexation of the spirit, you know, of the evil one, that spirit, not the Spirit of God. When we're underneath that kind of a thing, you know, and it's weighing us down, and it's, oh, maybe I don't even know how to pray, you know, oh, no, that's coming from the devil. He just wants to get you to stop. And so he plants doubt in your minds. And that's a good thing for us all to think about, right? Because when he plants that seed of doubt, and then we allow that doubt to grow in us, even for half a second, we end up in trouble. And you see that in the garden with Eve, you know, she began to doubt. And as soon as she doubted, oh boy, you know, she was putting nails in her own coffin there. And that's what it literally, as it turns out, right? And so that's what happens. So we don't want to do that. So here is the best way for you to evangelize. Number one, through your prayer for them. Now you be a prayer warrior for them, Rose. You pick up those rosary beads, you ply those beads, you pray those beads with sure confidence that God is hearing your prayer, whether you feel it or not, he's hearing your prayer. Whether you believe it or not, in the sense of, you know, experiencing some kind of benefaction from it, that doesn't matter. He is hearing your prayer because you're offering good prayer. You're offering prayer for the conversion of your family and your loved ones. Number one, pray. Number two, and this is just as important, so I'm only saying it second. It's equally important. Your prayer should be your life. In other words, your life should demonstrate your prayer, meaning that your actions toward your loved ones should speak the truth. It should speak the truth of your heart. So you should be charitable towards them. And here I mean that loving towards them. In that understanding of charity, you should be loving, your loving actions. And you should ask our Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm doing this for my loved one, but I want you to be doing it through me. Ask our Blessed Lady, I want you to be operating through me, Mary, so that my very action becomes efficacious, becomes a means of distributing grace. Big difference between an act of charity, which is an act of love, and a humanitarian effort. A humanitarian effort is good. We want to do them, but it only goes so far if it's coming from our own goodwill. But if it's coming from love and the one who is love, if it is coming from Jesus operating in us or his mother operating in us, then it becomes a charitable act and it becomes efficacious with grace. So pray, act, and when you have the opportunity, speak a word. Like if one of them is ill, call them up. May I pray with you? Or if they come over and tell you about a problem, hey, let's just pray together right now and ask our Lord to help you. Very rarely does a person say no to a prayer being offered. Well, we're at the end of the program. It's been great being with you today. Love you lots. Until we're together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. May God richly bless you. Get out to womenofgrace.com. Bye now.